WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today. Friends, God bless you. Happy Wednesday to you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your Wednesday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. It's church day, and I invite you to come out to church tonight. Here it is. If it's 5:30 in the afternoon, we broadcast this program. You got 25 minutes still to turn that car around, come to 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, the place, Island Community Church, the time, 6 p.m. tonight. Bring your wide margin Bible. I will roll out the blackboard. We're going to have a great time in the book of Romans. Looking forward to seeing you. We're having a wonderful turnout. We're in chapter 4, and I invite you, and I'd love to meet you and greet you. With many of you, many of my friends here on the radio, come by on a Wednesday night, and no better place to be than in the house of God, studying the Word of God. So I'd love to see you tonight at 6 o'clock. Here today, you're going to hear a sermon, part one of the sermon I just preached on Sunday. This will play today, Wednesday, and tomorrow, Thursday. It's entitled, God is Love. It's the next sermon in line here, going through verse by verse, line upon line in the book of 1 John. God is love. I remember the shirts, being a Beatles fan that I am, seeing from Hayton Ashbury Street, in the Summer of Love, Sgt. Pepper's, or San Francisco, the Grateful Dead. Remember all the hippies with the God is Love shirt on, thinking that that means that you can go and do whatever you want out here in the world. And not only is God love, but there's lots of other adjectives and holy attributes that make up the character of God. That's what we're going to be looking at here starting today. Let's go there. Again, I encourage you to download the app, WGOD Radio, and there's a lot of good info on there. The app for our church, Island Community Church, FL, our services are broadcast live on there. So there's a couple different ways to follow along with us, to give and support financially. Remember, we pay to be on the radio, though I'm the manager here, just like everyone else does. And certainly would appreciate your financial support here to help keep this radio program on the air as well. Okay, God bless. Looking forward to seeing you tonight. Here's part one of this message, God is Love.
God is love. We're continuing where we left off here in 1 John chapter 4. John's got a lot to say about love. Matter of fact, John is the one who wrote, God is love. Not some hippie on the corner of Hayton Ashbury Street in San Francisco. Of all the attributes we read about God, God is just, God is holy, God is righteous, God is pure, God is long-suffering, God is patient, God is kind. But most importantly of all, we learn and we read that God is love. Don't we all learn about that each and every day? What do you think? Jesus tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But look closely at that verse here. Let me read and bring your attention to those two words here. Love and gave. God so loved the world that he gave. You see, God so loved the world that somebody had to die. You see, holiness and righteousness and a hatred of sin cannot be discarded because of love. They all have to work together in perfect unity. All of those attributes of God. So, because of love, sin had to be dealt with. And boy, was it ever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So yes, God is love. The fact that I'm standing here today is all the proof this old boy needs. Of all the evil I've done in my life, I'm standing here today. Of all the things I've been forgiven of, you see, Jesus said, those that have been forgiven of much, love much. Those that have been forgiven of little, you know, those that accepted Christ when they were two, the last time they sinned, Rockefeller was around and Eisenhower was president. Love little. But since God so loved the world, somebody had to die. Something had to give. Someone has to pay the price for Adam and Eve's sin. If God was ever going to have fellowship with his creatures again, his righteousness demands it. Someone has to pay for sin. Because God is holy. So let me ask the question to all of you chemists out here. We got half of three or four rocket scientists. We have a couple that worked at NASA. We got someone visiting today that's going to be launching Captain Kirk into outer space on Tuesday, visiting here today. Blue Origin. Maybe I should strike that from the... No, you can go to church on Sunday, right? All right, I won't ask you if you've got the vaccine or not, because that would be going too far. Let me ask you chemists, what do you get when you mix the following two truths? Number one, God is love, and number two, God is holy. You get a quagmire. You get, better yet, a collision, Godzilla versus Mothra. The clash of the titans is God is love and God is holy. Someone out here is going to have to pay the price to have both of these attributes of God satisfied. Something has to pay. You can't just wear the shirt, God is love, and do what you want, because God is holy. And the Bible says the soul that sins will surely die, and the wages of sin is death. Someone will have to pay the price to have these attributes of God satisfied. Enter in the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, the love of God in bodily form. So every time we consider the love of God, let us consider the sacrifice of God, both Father and Son. And remember that the love of God came with a price. Now the heading on this text is seeing God through love. So in your Bibles, we're in 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. John writes, no one has seen God at any time. Hey, that's funny. He said that before, too. First, the Gospel of John 1:18. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Funny how he joins these two thoughts together. Do you see that? No one has seen God at any time, and if we love one another. So let me help a little bit here. Let's add a but to this, okay? Now, follow along with me. No one has seen God at any time, but if we love each other, then God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. A little easier to read that way? He's saying we can't see God, But at least since God is love, if we love one another, then we can usually sense his presence in us. It's the next best thing. We lack nothing, he is saying. You can't see God, but his love has been perfected in all of us. We lack nothing. You haven't seen him, but his love is perfected in you. Look in the mirror. God loves you. God is for you. God is on your side. You are the living spectacle that God is love. You know, someday when you die, I believe you're going to find out just how many times God saved you from dying in this world. And I tell you what, you would just pray to be able to just rewind time and history then. Actually, you probably wouldn't want to at that point. It's too late. It's too late then, but it's not too late now. Look in the mirror. It's a spectacle. How much God loves you and all that he's done for you. Praise him today for what he's done. Praise him. Your name's in the book of life, church. There's 7.3 billion people out here. It's only the 0.3 that are really saved. It's those on the other end of that decimal point that are clueless, the 7 billion. Praise God, your name's in the book of life. Because God loves you? That's good news, our favorite saying here in this church. That's good news. All right, now he builds on this, verse 13, and one of his favorite expressions. He says, by this we know. We read that all throughout here. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us. So here's his proof. By this we know that we are as close to God as we can be. Us in him and him in us. Starts with the word because. It says, because he has given us of his Spirit. So by this we know that we are Christian and belong to him because he has given his Holy Spirit to us. The Holy Spirit inside of you is the proof. It's the proof of your salvation. It's our guarantee. What's it say in the King James? I think it says earnest, doesn't it? Greek word arabon. You know what that word means in classical Greek? Back in Socrates' day? The word arabon meant engagement ring. God has given you an engagement ring of himself on the inside of you. I could bang this gavel all day in here and say that's good news. Paul the Apostle wrote, the great mystery of the church is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. All right, now John continues here. Verse 14, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Okay, and now verse 15, how to ensure that this applies to you too. Starts with the word verse 15, it's the word whoever. Do you see that? Meaning this is conditional. Whoever confesses, the word homologeo, it means speak the same thing. It means to agree with someone or agree with God. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. You see, and this is what sets you apart from the animal in this evil world of evolution. You are capable of agape love. No animal can do that. You didn't inherit that from anyone. God gave that to you. That's what sets you apart from everyone else. You're able to love. You love your son. You love your daughter. You don't eat them. You love them. And it's the holy attribute of God, love. When you love, you are behaving like your heavenly Father, John continues. Verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Right? That is, I already have my, after all that God has done for me, I'm not going to worry in the day of judgment. Because he saved me on my worst day, why am I going to worry in the day of judgment? And I take God at his word. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Believe God at his word, and you'll have no fear on the day of judgment. He's not talking to you. Someone died in your place. He took your judgment upon himself. There's no fear on judgment day. Not because I'm worthy, but because he paid the penalty for my unworthiness. Thank you, Jesus. That's good news. That is why we can have boldness on the day of judgment, comma, or semicolon, because as he is, so are we in the world. He continues, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Some translations say punishment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, I am assured of the Lord's love, first of all, because he sent his son to die in my place. Secondly, I know he loves me because he dwells in me. That's my engagement ring on the inside of me. You and I have been, another time he says, sealed until the day of redemption. You have got God's engagement ring. It's a guarantee, and it's not based on anything you're going to do or anything you have done. It's not based on how many sins you're going to commit on your way back to Tampa tomorrow. He chose you before the foundation of the world. It's based on him, not on us. Otherwise, we all would lose it. There is no fear in love. Again, I am assured of the Lord's love because he sent his son to die for me, because I have his engagement ring. He dwells on the inside of me. And thirdly, I can look to the future with confidence and without fear because I know that God loves me because he's proven it to me every day. And I'm still standing here. By golly, I'm still standing. I haven't given up life yet. I haven't quit at the first sign of trouble. I didn't quit at the death of my wife. I didn't quit. I kept on going. The righteous man picks himself up seven times and keeps on going. We had two funerals in here for COVID the same week. What do? We keep on going, right? I'd much rather depart and be with Christ, he says, is far better. I'm reminded of one of my favorite verses. It's Romans 5 and 8 that says this: God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's personalize that and put your name there. For God demonstrates his own love towards you in that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. He didn't save you on your best day. He saved you on your worst day. God demonstrates his own love towards you in that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. Look to the cross. Then verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. The only reason we love at all is because he loved us first. Think back to your life. Think back to how you were doing before. Without his love, you'd be like one of those politicians you see on television. You want to know what it looks like to be without love? Turn on the news. Watch the idiots and fools in charge of this country. Watch the United States Senate. If you want to see what it looks like to be without love, watch the United States
House of Representatives.
And that's what a human being looks like. He's an animal without love, without esteeming others better than yourself, without having the love of Jesus Christ in you. You want to know how it looks like? Either remember how you used to be or turn the television on and you can see how it looks. Without his love. But he loves you. He saves you. He regenerates you. He lives on the inside of you. And now you love. But don't forget why, and don't forget how that came about. Is that while you were still a sinner, he died for you. Your faith is a gift from God. He gave you the gift of faith. You called on the Lord. You received. Now you've got his engagement ring on the inside of you. And now you're grateful for all that God has done for you. And now you love. You see, you love because he first loved you. I didn't give a rip about God before that happened. Something changed on the inside. Somebody changed me first. By golly, someone changed me first. I didn't say, oh, I think it's a quaint idea. I'll love God today. No, I was a wretched, miserable soul, like a politician. And he changed me. And I love because he loved me first. Hallelujah. Are you grateful for the love of God today? You know, if these politicians walked in some of this, we'd have a lot less trouble in this world. You know? Like with this vaccine, if they would let people pray and decide amongst their families what's best for them to make the right decision, there'd be a lot, all this fighting would go away. Stop politicizing things. Okay, now this subject continues in chapter 5. Let's roll with it. First, verse 20. Now if somebody says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? All right, there's my man. Back to the John that I know. He's been doing this whole book. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Because if you loved God, you would love your brother. These are the two great commandments of the New Testament. Number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And number two, love your neighbor like you love yourself. I mean, after all the evil that you've done, after all that God has forgiven you of, you hate your brother, you've missed it. Look in the mirror. After all that God has done for you, that God would stoop so low so as to love you and you in turn like Cain. You hate your brother. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy this morning?
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You are listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM. From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, what does that mean? What is meekness? Well, let me tell you what it is not before I tell you what it is. It is not weakness. Put that down big and plain and straight. Meekness is not weakness. The word meek means yielded. It literally has the idea of strength under control. When a steed, an animal, especially a horse, has been domesticated, it has been trained so a rider can sit upon its back or so it can pull a plow. The proper term for that was that that horse, that animal, that oxen, whatever, had been meeked, M-E-E-K-E-D. It had been meeked. It had been broken. Now it yields to the rider. Now it yields to the yoke. It is strength under control. That's what meekness is.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
From the depths you have raised me to a height I have never seen. Oh, you saw what I could be, and now I know I'll never be the same.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island,